All right, we're in Proverbs, of course, this morning, and we'll continue on. Our lesson asks that we cover all three of these chapters, and we'll make a stab at it this morning and see if we can't maybe make note of something in all three of the chapters. I'll go back just real quickly and lay a little bit of a foundation. Let's not forget a little bit of the foundation of what we are in, what we're reading here. You're basically finding a father here that is giving instruction to his son. You'll find in the instructions here that there's a lot of, we hear the word wisdom mentioned over and over and over in these chapters as well. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to impart wisdom unto this son and instructing him in his ways of life. Now the father here is actually giving this twofold. Number one, he admits and he acknowledges that the wisdom that he has as a father that he's giving to the son here, this wisdom comes from God, and it was given to him from God. He's actually taking this instruction, he's put it to work in his own life, and he can also instruct the son, but not just saying this is what God says, but he can also tell the son, I've lived this and it works. And here's how it works in your life. And here's some things that you need to understand as a young person here. You don't have wisdom. You're not old enough to know a lot of what was given unto him. And so he's trying to impart unto the son some wisdom, some instruction that came from God to the father. The father has lived this, and he's taking what he has received from God, lived it, and actually passing it down to the son here to make sure he instructs him in the paths of righteousness. Now, it is very important, and I think one of the great things about our church this morning with a Christian school, that we as a church, in the ministries of our church, can have a large impact on young people in teaching them the ways of God. And they need to be taught the ways of God. And we should never take it for granted that they just automatically know because they come to a Christian school. In fact, there are many young people that will come through our Christian schools that do not have maybe a good home life, even at that, that would instruct them in the ways and the paths of God. So this father is trying to give this instruction to the son to help him to make life so that he'll know how to live life and how life works and how you interact in life. And thus far, the father has pretty well told him and given him some good instruction, some positive things of how to live life, and this is how it's going to make it work much easier. Life will be much happier. Life would be a lot more enjoyable if you'll follow these principles. And they've all been what I would call positive principles that this father has given unto the son. Now, in the chapters that we're going to read, he reverses it and is going to give you the negative side that if you do not follow the path of righteousness, you can kind of expect this is going to be the outcome and you're not going to like the outcome that you'll find in life. So when you read through the book of Proverbs here, you'll find it's very basic. It's very easy. It's a lot of just basic principles. A lot of times you may read it and say, well, you know, that's just a given. But, you know, a lot of times we need to be just rehearsed and we need to be reminded of just the very basic principles of living life. So we're going to jump in here in chapter 5. You'll find in verse number 1, he says, my son, attend unto my wisdom. All right. Now, he's already acknowledged previously that this wisdom that he has is actually comes from following the principles of God. And since he has lived that and followed those principles, he has a degree of wisdom and he's trying to pass it down to the son here. He goes on in verse number 1, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou, talking about the son, mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. So he's basically in verse 1 and 2, you'll find this over and over and over, that he's telling this son that, now listen to this, I got something very important I want you to hear. Now, if you know anything about young people, you've always got to try to say, now you need to listen to me, because they have a tendency not to want to listen. Especially teenagers, they tend to kind of turn a deaf ear sometimes to mom or dad trying to help them and instruct them or correct them or discipline them, whatever the, you know, it may be in life. Sometimes young people, Everybody knows this. All young people know a lot more than parents do. I mean, they know more than everybody else in this world. I mean, they've got the world. I mean, they've got the world in their hands. They've got it all under control. They know what they're doing, and they are a far, far cry from what they believe. So you have to remind them to listen to me. That's what the father's doing. You'll find this over and over because he's trying to tell this young son, now listen to me. I'm going to give you something here. You're going to need to know this. So we get into the chapter here, and the entire chapter is going to be about a young son and girls, women, if you would, that you'll find listed here as well, and how that you better be very, very careful that you don't fall prey to those that are trying to lure you down a wrong path. So you've got male and female here in this chapter, and we have to be, he's telling the son here, and you got to be careful in this relationship that you're going to have. Now, may I stop and say this first off? It is natural. It is natural for a young boy to be attracted to a young woman. All right? Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. The only thing I worry about is when a young man's not attracted to a young woman. That troubles me there. So let's keep that in mind. It is a natural feeling that a young boy will have towards a young lady or a young lady towards a young man. That is a natural, God-given a desire there, if you would, in the heart or the life of that person. All right, so there's nothing wrong with that attraction. You just need to make sure that that attraction's with the right person. So let's get into the chapter here. Look at verse number 3. For the lips of a strange woman. All right, now the strange woman is going to describe you, if you would. This is going to be the kind of woman that you do not want to be attracted to. This is a person that is very sinful. You could also maybe write outside that a harlot, if you would, in many cases. This would be a young woman that is trying to attract the desires of a young man in a sinful manner. Okay? Everybody understand that? So here it is. And you find here, he tells his son here that there's going to be some women out there. He describes these group as strange women. This would be the kind of group of women that as a son, you need to stay away from them. They're out there. They're going to be attractive. They're going to try to lure you. And he's going to describe some ways that this strange woman may try to attract this son, if you would. And he's trying to tell his son, you stay away from them. Now, isn't it amazing in the book of Proverbs how many times he tells his son, stay away from them? He's warning this son about different groups of people in life that you just need to stay away from them. Why? They're troublemakers. They're headed down a wrong path. They're not heading down the path of righteousness. They're not headed down the path that God is leading them down. In fact, they're going to lead you down a wrong path, and the end result is going to be destruction. He talks about that. So in verse 3, he automatically tells you that this woman that he's describing here is not the kind of woman that he would want his son to be attracted to. For her lips of a strange woman, it says here, drop as a honeycomb. Meaning her speech is going to be, he's describing it as like a honeycomb. Of course, honey is involved and it's a very sweet taste. And he's starting to describe to this young son, she's going to flatter you with her words. Oh, you're so strong. You're so good looking. You're so cute. You're so, you know, on and on and on and on. And all these different terms that this woman may use. And he describes it to the son. Now, when these words enter your ear, it's going to enter in your ear as a honeycomb, something sweet, something desirable. So he goes on here in verse number 3, and he says, and her mouth is smoother than oil. All right? So she's a smooth talker. She says all the right words. And it enters into your ears, and boy, her words, they're smoother than oil. I mean, it is sweet as a honeycomb. It is as sweet as honey to the taste of the tongue. And so he's describing this strange woman who is not someone that this son should be attracted to, all right? But she's going to be out there, and they're going to be present in life. And she's going to use a lot of smooth words. She's going to flatter you with her lips. It's going to, it's going to be as honey, sweet tasting, if you would, to you, right? He goes on in verse number 4, but He says in verse number 4, her end is bitter as wormwood. Now, wormwood is a plant. It is a very bitter plant. In fact, some say that it can even be poisonous, if you would. And he's trying to describe unto this young son, now all these words that she gives, and she flatters you with her words, and she's a smooth talker, and she builds you up, and you fall for it. But he says, but you need to realize, he says in verse number 4, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. So he's telling him that the words, they taste, as they enter into your ear, it would remind you of it's smoother than oil, and it's like honey. I mean, it's a very sweet tasting, but the end result will be it's going to be as bitter as wormwood. So he's describing to this son that there are going to be people in life, and it can be, and you can reverse it. You can use the same scenario here with a young lady, but you got to realize it's a father talking to the son here. But the same principle applies both ways, by the way. There's going to be people in life, and they're going to flatter you with their words, but you better be very, very careful. Very careful. She's going to flatter you. She's going to make it all sound real good. Now, you got to realize this woman here, this strange woman the Bible is describing, she's trying to pull him to her. Okay? Now, let's stop here for just a moment. Many, 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 many young people make serious mistakes right here. And my children are not exempt. Your children's not exempt either. We got to realize there are just some young ladies or some young men that our children have no business following. I mean, it's amazing. Young people are so stupid sometimes. And they'll make statements and so forth and to try to make mom and dad believe this person's a good person. Here's one. Well, they go to such and such church. So that makes it perfectly okay. Just because somebody goes to church and such church doesn't make them a right person. It's funny sometimes, even in school and so forth, it's funny to watch some of the guys. I mean, just henpecked as they can be. That's an old saying, I guess. I deal with chickens every day, so I know what hens do. Now, in real life, the rooster whoops the hen all day long. But anyway, I don't know what it means by being henpecked. But you understand what I mean. What does it mean? Some of you older people, what's a henpecked person mean? What does it mean to be henpecked? She's in charge. She's in charge. If she says jump, he says how high. And even in a young person's life, sometimes it's amazing how young people are so, in fact, there's so many things we could talk about this morning. I think those kind of relationships are very dangerous at a young age. I tell Emily and them sometimes, and Emily's here today, but we've talked before, and I've told her, I think we may let her go on a first date when she's 21. And we joke about that sometimes, young people need to understand that I know you think that relationship and that's real love, and I think there's some real emotions involved there. Please don't misunderstand me. But a young person at that age, they don't understand what love is. They have emotions that are raging in life, and that's very real. And there's an attraction there, and that attraction is very real in life. But those serious relationships, I think it's very damaging sometimes when young people want to be boyfriend and girlfriend, and if they're boyfriend and girlfriend, that means many things. That means, boys, you can't talk to her, and girls, you can't talk to him. And if you talk to him or her, boy, they get mad. It's just a lot of drama in life that is nonsense. Young people, for instance, right now, young people, they need to concentrate on their studies. They need to concentrate on school. They need to concentrate on getting a good education. They need to concentrate on maybe going to college or things of that nature. But this father here, he's talking to this son, and he's saying to this son here, now, you got to be careful in life. She's going to try to lure you down to her or to her path or to her. She's going to use words to begin with. She's going to use these words, and boy, they're going to enter your ears, and she's going to say all the right things that you want to hear. How strong you are, how fast you are, how good you are, how good looking you are, how cute you are, and on. And boy, the guys, they just eat that up. And the father is saying here, you better be very, very careful. And you need to realize and understand, he says to the son here, but her end in verse number 4 is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Now, verse 4 is the direct opposite of verse 3. See, verse 3 is talking about the words of this woman here, or this young lady. And the words, they're sweet as honeycomb. They are smooth as oil. Verse 4 is the direct opposite. He's telling him, but that's what it is today, but when you look down the road, the end is going to be, it's going to be as bitter as wormwood. Yeah. Be very careful. Very, very careful, he says here. He continues on. You'll find in verse number 5, he says, her feet, in verse 5, goeth down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. So he's talking about a very wicked individual that is trying to lure this son down a path of a physical relationship, I could say this morning, that is very wrong in the eyes of God. It's going to develop into a relationship that's very damaging to him. And it even describes here, in verse number 5, her feet go down. The word down describing a downward spiral in life, if you would. The steps of this woman always lead downward, and it always, the result is always going to be ruin. Outside of choosing Christ as a person's personal Savior, the second most important decision a person's going to make is who they marry. That's my personal opinion. Because, boy, if you don't marry the one God has, you're going to find life's going to be very, very difficult. And I believe that the father is trying to instruct this son here. There's going to be a right one out there for you. God is going to have the right young lady, or we can reverse it or say the right young man for you. You got to be patient. You got to realize it's all in the plan of God. Be careful about people that are flattering in their words, and be careful that you don't get sucked up into this woman that is described here that's going to lure you down the wrong path. You'll find in verse 6, she's going to take you downward, not upward, but downward in life. He goes on. He says in verse number 7, hear me now therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. What's he saying? Stay away from her. Just stay away from her. We can go back to the Word of God, and this goes for adults as well. Don't ever get to the point where you think you're always strong enough to resist temptation. I think it's one of the dumbest things we do as believers sometimes is that we're not careful with where we place ourselves in life, and we put ourselves in some very temptation-oriented situations, and sometimes, you know what, you're just not strong enough to overcome the temptation. Get away from it. And that's what he tells the son. Here's the best advice I can give you about these kind of people in life. You just stay away from them. Now, it's going to be hard for this young guy to do that because those words, I mean, they're smoother than oil. And man, it's like honeycomb what she says. I mean, he just melts when she talks. And it's going to be difficult for him. And the father knows that, and the father realizes this son here, guess what? You're not strong enough to overcome that temptation. You will fall prey to this if you don't stay away from it. Stay away from it. Do you remember, we could go back, we could even stay, we can go in the Old Testament here. You can talk about Joseph a little bit. when Potiphar's wife, when she tried to seduce him, what did he do? I mean, he got out and he got out quick. You remember he left his garment there. She actually had a hold of it. He just left it there. He didn't go back for it. What is that? That is a wise individual that realizes that I am in a situation, there's a great temptation here, and I better get out quick. Now, this is where many, many, many young people fail. And I shouldn't say young people. A lot of adults fail at this as well. Why? Because we all have weak moments in life. And in a teenager's life, it's most all the time. Let's be honest. There's a lot going on in teenagers' lives, a lot of emotions, a lot of things changing. I mean, for several years, girls were yuck, and now they're not so yucky anymore. And young guys get attracted to young girls, and young girls get attracted to young guys. And this son is saying here, but you better be careful about them. Be very careful. Because they're going to use the right words. They're going to say all the words you want to hear. And you know, and girls are smart enough to know what a young guy wants to hear. And the opposite could be said. I mean, you know, guys know what girls want to hear. And they're going to say all those words that they know that they want to hear to try to pull them into them. This father is saying, but you better be very careful because there's some out there that are people that you don't need to be with and you don't need to be attracted to, and they're going to lure you away. And he tells him here that it's a downward spiral in verse number 6. You'll find that he mentions here, I guess, the best way to avoid this is just stay away from that temptation. Avoid it. Avoid being close to it. Get away from it. Don't go there. Stay away from it. Stay away from them. Stay away from that person, whatever the matter may be. You got to be wise enough to know that that is not right, that is not the right path, and don't put yourself in a position where you even have to say no. Just stay away from it. A lot of good advice the father gives here to the son. And may I say even to us, let's never presume that we are strong enough to always refuse the temptation, even as an adult. As an adult, we're wise enough. We've been around long enough to know the best way to avoid sin is just stay away from it. Stay away from the temptation. I mean, you know, the Bible tells us that we are to, stay away from all appearance of evil. I mean, just the very appearance of evil, God's people ought to be away. Stay away from it. If it looks like it's bad, stay away from it. If it looks like it's wrong, stay away from it. And you'll find yourself in a lot safer place when you're not around that temptation all the time. Now, all of this being said this morning, it's pretty easy to say that to a young person, but sometimes it's hard for a young person to live. Especially as a young person is involved in school in that time, in that stage of life, and always around other young people and so forth, they need to be careful. I just believe this, and this is just me. Just because they go to the Christian school don't mean that they're good people. And that's vice versa towards my children, your children, anybody else's children. Just because they go to the Christian school doesn't make it automatically they're accepted. And I don't, maybe the word accepted, that's not a good word to use in this day and age because we got to accept everything and everybody, I guess. But I'm just saying this morning, young people better be careful, very careful, that they don't get seduced into a relationship with somebody just because of flattering words that are very sweet and smoother than oil doesn't mean that they're all right. It's interesting here, down in verse number 15, 16, 17, and 18. He's going to use an illustration here. He says in verse number 15 to his son, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. He said, what in the world is he talking about, drinking water out of a cistern and waters out of his own? If you're going to drink water, drink it out of your own well. Then he goes on in verse number 16, let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. Now, what he is doing, he is using an illustration here, and basically what he is telling this young son, is encouraging him by wisdom to seek and to love a wife of his own age, right? Of his own, and talking about the right one. You'll find that, and he's to be faithful to her. You'll find in verse number 18, let thy fountains be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. So he's talking about the wife here, and he's using an illustration here about this wife and how to choose a wife and how to choose a wife wisely. Okay, so he's giving instruction here, and I don't have a lot of time to develop all of this here, but in chapter 5, this father is instructing this son about a relationship between him and a female, and how females, and it's vice versa, females or males versus, you know, we can flip it around here, but he's warning this son here about how that the female, don't be tricked into following her. Don't be led into a relationship with this young lady here just because of her words and how she talks to you and how she builds you up. And he's given a lot of just good sound advice to this young son about how to choose the right friend of the opposite. You know, if it's a son, choosing a right friend that is a female, or if it's a female, choosing the right friend that is a male in life, and how to do that and how to choose wisely and be very careful in that. Why is that? Because a lot of young people make stupid mistakes based on emotions. So that's pretty well the entire chapter. If you go back and read it word for word, you'll find a lot of good advice here. You'll find that he even uses the name strange woman again in verse number 20. It is describing unto you a wrong person to have a relationship with. All right. So in the entire chapter, he's giving you the wrong person. All right. To be very careful. Now, in verse 15, 16, 17, 18, he's talking about the right person and how to choose that. Be faithful to, you choose your wife that God has for you, and you be faithful to her, and you love her, and you enjoy life together with her. Okay? And that's a lot of good advice to adults this morning as well. You love your wife, not somebody else's wife. You know, sometimes you just got to be blunt sometimes to even Christians. Wife, you be faithful to your husband, not somebody else's husband. So, well, that's pretty basic. It's pretty basic, but it's amazing how many people don't follow it. And I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about God's people. I'm talking about from the Sunday school teacher that stands here this morning to the person in the pew, to the pastor, to the missionary, to the evangelist, whoever else walks in the door. It's for all of us. All right? We'll move on. You go to chapter 6. Now, if you're using maybe a Scofield Bible and maybe even other Bibles, you'll find under chapter 6 a little notation there, to sons continued. All right? So it's still the father. He's talking to the son. He's been talking to him for 23 verses here about a relationship between a male and a female. We could also spin it around, and the same principle applies the other direction as well. All right? So the 23 verses about that one area of life. And may I go back and emphasize once again, it is a very, very important part about life with young people. He goes to chapter 6. He says, my son. So you'll find here that he's talking to the son here once again. I'm going to skip down here just a little bit. You're going to find in this chapter here, he's going to talk to this young son about another important area of life, and that is you need to know how to work. And that's not a cuss word. It's not. It's not. Now, young people today think it's a cuss word, and it's not. It's amazing. He's going to take most of the chapter here and tell this young son, you need to know how to work in life. This may be one of the areas that we are very lacking in Christianity today, is teaching young people how to work with their hands, how to work, how to be responsible, how to make a living. That's kind of interesting. He talked about this relationship. in chapter 5. He talked about down to about verse 15, I believe, of the chapter about, you know, choosing a wife and choosing it wisely, and you be faithful to her, and so forth. Talked to it and kind of ties in with marriage a little bit. And then in chapter 6, he says, now, by the way, you need to know how to work, because if you don't know how to work, make a living, those smooth talking words, they're going to leave the house real quick. Because a lot of marriages break and they split because of finances. You know, oh, I love you and I love you, I'll stay with you to the end. Yeah, they'll stay with you to the end until the bills come in and you don't pay them, and the cable gets cut off and the cell phone gets cut off and the car gets repossessed and they get kicked out of their apartment and so forth, and they're going to find out, you know, I don't know if I love you as much as I thought I loved you. All right. Now, I'm going to say this real bluntly. When it comes to God's Word, it is the husband's responsibility to provide for that family. Now, what happens if something happens to him? And I understand all that, and there's, you know, we can get into a lot of what else, but I'm just going to tell you that this father's going to tell this son, and he's going to tell him, you better know how to work. Because you're going to find out love's not cheap. And that old saying, two can live together cheaper than one, is a lie. Am I right? You know, that's that smooth talking back up in what verse number 3 of chapter 5, those that honeycomb talking there, because that honeycomb's going to turn to wormwood. Too many marriages are breaking up because of lack of finances. And I'll tell young people, I'll tell my own kids this, if you can't afford to get married, and you can't afford to move out on your own, you're not financially secure enough to get married. I've already told my children, you're not living with us. If you can't afford to make a living, then you just can't afford to get married. Am I right? All right, so he's going to talk to him in this chapter about work. All right? Look at verse number 3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself when thou art come into the hand of thy friend. Go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. He does recommend here in verse number 3, you better make sure of your friends. You need to sure that up in life. Very important that you have the right friends. There's an old saying, you show me a child's friend and I'll show you that child's future. I'll show you what they will be. Be very, very careful about who your friends are. Very important we understand that, all right? Look at verse number 4. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Look at verse number 6. Go to the ant, all right? So he tells this young son here, he said, I'll tell you what, just go watch an ant. And he's not talking about your aunt and uncle, it's talking about the little bitty insect, the ant. All right. You'll find here in verse number 6, it's A-N-T. And then he says, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Father tells the son, you know, you can go watch an ant and learn a whole lot. I really believe this sometimes. I believe that you could take a young child in our Christian school, you could take a teenager, send them outside in the summertime in a project, go find an anthill, go get you a 5-gallon bucket, set on that bucket and watch that ant for about 3 hours, and you may learn more in those 3 hours than you will in 3 weeks in that classroom. All right? And why is that? He tells you why. Look at verse number 7. He's talking about this ant here, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. What's that mean? It means this. The ant doesn't have to have a boss to tell him what to do. You know, there's a lot of people in life, they need to work a factory job. They need somebody to tell them what time to get up, what time to come to work, what time to clock in, what time to go to lunch, and here's, I'll let you go to break during this time and so forth, and I'll let you go home at this time. Some people need that. If that boss is not standing around, they're not going to do much when the boss leaves either. We call it this, we call it lazy. Now, the ant's not lazy. One of the most working animals on planet Earth is the ant.
And the Bible even describes a little bit about it. It says right here, verse number 7, talking about the ant, which having no guide, doesn't have an overseer, doesn't have a ruler, he says here. What does he do? He does this in verse number 8, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Talking about the ant and how the ant's pretty amazing, and it's a lesson in itself of what you can learn from an ant. If you want to study anything, go home and just kind of study a little bit ants and how ants live and how they can, of course, they can lift, I don't know how many times, their own body weight and so forth, but they work, they gather in the summer, they prepare for the winter, and they don't need an overseer, they don't need a boss, they don't need a ruler, they work, they're diligent, they do their job, they take care of themselves, and this father is telling the son that's what the father needs to do. He tells in verse number 3, he talks about friendships, making sure you shore up your friends and so forth. In verse number 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, we went down through verse number 8. Then he says in verse number 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. He's talking about also about people that just think they got to sleep all the time. Have you ever met people that, I've never been just really maybe a good sleeper, but I can remember even my teenage years. I had a good friend, he slept to 12 noon every day on Saturdays. During the summer, you had to wait, if you're going to play out in the neighborhood, about 12 noon when people get out and get acting and so forth, because that's when they're getting up. Now, what's all this mean? Now, you can tie it all together. This is a father telling the son about how to live life, how life works. And he tells this son here in this chapter, he starts off talking about a little bit about friendships. You need to shore that up, make sure you got the right kind of friends. Then he goes to the next setting here, and he's trying to teach him how to work. And sometimes, it's going to surprise young people, sometimes you got to get up in the morning. Sometimes it's called setting an alarm clock. It's called getting up. It's talking about going to work. It's talking about not laying around in the bed all day. Are y'all with me this morning? You know as well as I do this morning that we have a society of young people, a society of even adults this morning, they wouldn't hit a lick at a snake if their life depended on it. Somebody's been paying their way all their life, and they are now adults sitting somewhere while somebody pays their rent, pays for their food, pays for their electricity, pays for their automobile. We pay now for their cable television. We pay now for their cell phones. And they do absolutely nothing in life. Now, I am totally against that this morning. Totally. I think you would side with me this morning as the Bible describes it. If you don't work, you don't eat. But we've raised a society nowadays that tries to teach young people that work's a bad thing. Work is not a bad thing. Work's a good thing. We've gotten away from teaching young people how to be productive, how to do things, how to use your hands, how to be prosperous in life, how to produce something, how to please maybe a supervisor or a boss, or how to make some money and how to manage money. I mean, people don't understand. I mean, I thought I didn't have my wallet with me this morning. The average young person this morning thinks everything is paid for this right here. I've had my kids when they were young. I think, was it Ryan one day wanted something in the store, and I knew I didn't have any money in my wallet, and I said, son, I wished I could, but man, I don't have no money in here. He said, well, you got plastic money. He's talking about this right here. This right here gets a lot of people in trouble. Lots of people. Years ago, we called it layaway. Credit cards came into play and they said, you don't have to wait, you can have it right now. You don't even really have to pay for it. Just swap this in that machine, you take it home. Isn't it wonderful?
I mean, I can go to the gas station, pump gas on this. I can go to Kroger today. I can buy hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of groceries, and I can fill up the back of my truck with it this morning. I can go to Walmart. I can walk in it. I can buy anything in that store with this right here. Is there anything sinful about having one? No. But when this right here owns you, you got a problem. And I'm afraid sometimes teenagers and young people, they see moms and dads just swapping this all day long. And I mean, we use it all the time as well. But I got to realize there's a bill that's going to come in the mail. It's going to come once a month. But this company here is so sly, here's what they'll tell you. Oh, you don't have to pay for it right now. You can just pay the minimum. If you'll just send me $25 this month, we'll just let it go another month. The bill comes the next month. Oh, you don't have to pay for it. Times are hard. I mean, you watched the news this morning. Your income went down. You can put it off another month. We'd love you. You're such a... what do they call us sometimes? A preferred customer. We love you so much. And we're so grateful to have you as our friend. We've got a special program for you. We're going to extend what you can put on this. You've already maxed it out. But you're so preferred, we're going to give you another $3,000 added to your credit limit. Go out and have fun. And people go out and they swap it and they swap it and they swap it and they swipe it. But there's going to come a day when you're not going to like the letter from those that told you that you were a preferred customer. Now they word you as a customer in trouble. And the reason so many people get in trouble with these is because they just don't know how life works. We have gotten away from the simple principles of just work. And if you're one, and as this father describes here, if you're this one that's just sleeping all the time, stays in bed all the time, 10 o'clock in the morning rolls around, they're still in bed. We've got a whole society live that way. And you know what always happens when you live a lifestyle like that? You always get yourself in trouble. You can criticize me all you want to this morning, but I promise you there is a group of people in our society today that's been living their life. They never have work. They can't hold a job. They don't know how to be productive in life. All they do is sleep all day and stay up all night, and they got 5 kids by 5 different people. And their life is a total disaster. And the reason their life is a total disaster is because they don't follow these principles right here. Now, I have a hard time with lazy people. I'll be honest with you. I really do. And my solution for that is you get up and you go to work. You get yourself a job. J-O-B. You don't need unemployment. You need a job. Now, it's not easy sometimes finding a job. I understand that. And I'm afraid sometimes we're too guilty making that kind of a comment when I drive down the road and there's signs all over town, now hiring. I don't know how we have unemployment when everybody in the world's got now hiring signs out. See, people don't want a job. You know what this father's telling this son right here? You learn how to work. He says, let me tell you something, son. You go outside and you find you an anthill and you just watch that ant for a while. And if you'll take those same principles that an ant puts to practice every day and you put it to practice in your life and you get up out of bed and open up your eyes and you get your lazy self outside there and you go to work and you pay your way in life. Am I right? Anyway, this isn't going over too good. I need to move on. And I don't know, I think I'm just bitter in my life. My dad made me go to work as a young person, and as a young person, I didn't quite like it either. But I tell you what, I'm glad my dad made me work. Amen. My dad was pretty, and I was I had a lot of benefits other guys didn't have. My dad was in construction, owned his own business and so forth, and I was put to work at a very young age, and I'm so glad that my dad put me to work. And I still carry, you know, when as a young person, I didn't like it. He one thing that my dad never could, he never liked it when you had your hands in your pocket. It was one of his pet peeves. He'd say, son, get your hands out of your pockets. He said, you can't do anything with your hands in your pocket. Keep your hands out of your pocket. I can remember, and he wasn't being mean, and sometimes he would even make it into a joke and so forth, but I hated that. I mean, my hands are cold, man. I mean, I'm going to put them in my pocket. But he didn't like them in my pocket because he said, he said it just shows laziness. And now, sometimes I hire different teenagers to work for us on our farm and so forth. And you know what? I find myself same way. Guys that walk around with their hands in the pocket all the time not doing much. You can take five teenagers and put them to work and so forth, and it won't take 5 minutes. You'll find out who can work and who can't. It's just basic principles of society. I mean, you give me 10 minutes with about 5-10 young guys, and I'll find out. I'll call five out real quick. They don't know how to work. You know, they always stand around, let the other guy do all the work. And there's a lot of things. My time's already out. There's a lot of things that could be said here. But he talks to this young son about work and how to work and how to be productive in life. And I'll just stop. My time's out. But anyway, we may pick up there. We didn't make it very far. But we'll stop right there. But let me just say this real quickly, that when you look at this book of Proverbs in a little bit, and as you find right here, it is amazing. So many basic things that we find this father teaching the son that so many times that we tend to overlook in life. And as God's people, we need to get back to the old paths, the old ways of this book right here. And I live, you know, well, we live in the year 2015. I know that, and this book still applies. It's still a productive book in the day and age we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this time. We pray for your blessings upon our service this morning and this service this evening. And God, I pray, as we pray so often, that you help us, Lord, to open up our hearts, open up our minds to your word this morning. Help us to learn, help us to grow, help us to accept this morning your word as truth. And God, more than that, help us to, Lord, take it, put it to practice, put it to work this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.